Scripture this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. In your pew Bibles, that's page 180. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. See, today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and adversity. For I am commanding you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commands, statutes, and ordinances, so that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God may bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not listen, and you are led astray to bow down to other gods and worship them, I tell you today that you will certainly perish and will not live long in the land you are entering to possess across the Jordan. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, love the Lord your God, obey Him, and remain faithful to Him. For He is your life, and He will prolong your life in the land the Lord swore to give to you, your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May God bless the reading and receiving of this word.
Thank you. We've come here today on this bright and actually for June a rather crisp Sunday morning to worship through a variety of ways. To worship through song, through prayer, through reflection, through the dedication of a child, dedication of that child to God, and dedication of ourselves to help, to pray for, to teach, to guide children, not just Eva, but all children whom we encounter toward God. I saw something this morning that I've only seen once before in all of my 60 years of living. But I've never seen it out in the road near a railroad track before. As I was coming this morning, no extra charge for this. It's not written down here. But who in here knows what a killdee is? A killdee. A lot of people call them killdeers. But they don't have anything to do with deer. They're birds. They almost look like a sandpiper. And as I was driving down the road and getting ready to cross railroad tracks, although I didn't think maybe the parents, the two big birds, were all that smart, there were two mature killdees and there were five killdees about that tall all around the railroad tracks. And of course, you know, the mama killdee, they lay their eggs out in the open and they raise their babies out in the open, and if predators come around, the mama killdee will act like she's wounded to draw the predator away, even sacrificing herself if necessary for the young ones. But as I approached, I thought it was kind of funny, as I approached across the railroad tracks, and the little killdees are all here on the railroad tracks, I just hope they didn't think they were going to stop a train. The mama killdee went limp with a wing as my car is approaching and started going in another direction. But what she was trying to do was protect. But they were out there teaching those little killdees lessons of life as best they could, caring for their children and teaching them lessons for living. And it reminded me and gave me an extra example for this morning. As we think about children, as we think about choosing life, and as we have Vacation Bible School coming up next week, what does it mean when we are given that opportunity, and as the writer of Deuteronomy records this portion of one of Moses' farewell speeches, what does it mean to say, choose life and dedicate your children and yourself to God? What is involved in all of that? Well, in this particular speech of Moses, late in the book of Deuteronomy, as we've mentioned before, the book of Deuteronomy is made up of five farewell speeches of Moses. Just prior to this, around chapter 28, there is a list of blessings and curses that the people have to commit themselves to. And as they're standing along by the mountains, one group will respond when the blessings are read. They'll respond, "Amen," or "May it be done to us." And the other group will respond to the curses. "Amen, may it be done to us if we do such things." I mean, it says, cursed among them. Cursed is a person who misleads a blind man on the road. One more. No, it's going to be a big step, but just one more step back. Cursed be anyone who moves the marker for the property line, or all kinds of other things. But then blessings if you keep the commandments of God. And so that has just taken place as Moses is about to give up his leadership of the people of Israel. And so we come to this part of the speech in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And actually the verses that Chris read are repetitious from earlier in the chapter. Mark Biddle, Old Testament scholar, states that Moses confronts, quote, "the most enigmatic aspect of being human. If, as Israel did, human beings know what is good and right, why do they choose to do wrong? Israel is capable of doing right, but it does not want to do so." End of quote. And that is something of an enigma that we as human beings face each and every day of our lives. We know what is the right thing to do. The writer of the letter of James says that one who knows what is right to do but fails to do it commits sin. We either choose to act wrongly or we choose not to act properly. And that is an enigma. We have the option of keeping God's will. We have the freedom to accept God's gracious gift of redemption or to reject it. We find that even in the story of creation found in Genesis 2 and 3. We can keep the covenant or not. Life gives us choices, does it not? We have choices in politics, in social issues, in morality, in religion, choices of who to date, who to marry, what to eat, what to wear. Life gives us a multiplicity of choices each and every day. And some are better than others. It's something that we cannot escape. Even to choose to become a hermit is to make a choice. And every day to remain a hermit is to make a choice. We choose between good and evil, although, quite frankly, most of our choices are not so much between good and bad as different levels of good. Whether I'm going to do something good or better or the very best. And quite frankly, in much of Hebrew tradition, to choose less than the best is to make a sinful choice, a wrong choice. From the perspective of Moses and God, choices are a matter of life and death. Do what? Yeah, choices are a matter of life and death. Especially choices to follow the covenant. The commitment that God gives to us from Himself and then expects from us when we accept it. How can we worship, especially our dedication service, how can those things be life and death? Because we choose to commit to God or not. And that means life or death. We choose to lead children so that they, like we, will learn to make definite, concrete decisions. decisions for belief and faith. Belief without faith. And belief without applying it to life will hinder movement toward God, will hinder movement toward true living, will hinder our movement toward understanding love. And so we must choose to teach those things to ourselves and to children. That's life and prosperity. Or we choose not to do so. And that's death and adversity. Contrary to much of later teachings, the writer of Deuteronomy contends that the covenant is doable. Yeah, we find in other places, both in the Hebrew Scriptures and in the New Testament, especially in Paul, that we can't keep the law, we can't keep the covenant. But for the Deuteronomistic writer, there is this sense that we can, if we really choose to, every moment keep the covenant. But the problem is the human will for good is not the same as doing good. And before anyone might claim ignorance of the requirements of the covenant, Moses states in verse 11 of this chapter, "Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away." You can do this, but it means a life of choosing. It means that choosing to follow God is a lifelong task. God has revealed the basic principles of His will to us, shares that with us. And Moses has made even clearer these principles for the new generations that will follow. He reminds the parents, the ones that will carry these new generations into the promised land, but he's also reminding those who are entering, those children, that God expects them to learn and to keep that covenant, to choose life. As a result, Israel can't claim ignorance. "I didn't know." For God has placed His foundational intentions for life for His people. Verse 14, "The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe." And so God sets before the people of Israel, as they are preparing for the unknown of life, this new venture in this land of promise, God is setting before them a choice. And it's interesting to note how it's put: life and prosperity, or death and adversity. Life is linked to being prosperous. Not just materially prosperous, but emotionally and spiritually prosperous as well. Adversity, and continuing to wallow in adversity, leads to death. And not just physical death, but emotional and spiritual destruction. To choose life is to learn and obey the commandments of the Lord your God, he says here. Choose life. That means learn and obey. This is how one shows or proves the statement, "I love you," or "I love God." Someone can tell you that they love you over and over and over again, but when do you truly believe them? When they prove to you, when they show you their love. You can say over and over again, "I love God." But unless you live your life, unless you do the things that show love, no one really knows. They're just words. Mere words are not enough. Rather, living the commandments, statutes, ordinances, those things ordained by God, these lead to life and prosperity. That is, enjoying the blessings of God. That's what it means to have life and prosperity. To enjoy the blessings of God. But for life to continue, we must pass these truths and these lessons on to our children. Beginning at a young age, I'm sure Eva knows of the love and care by being handled, and she really doesn't understand the words yet, but it's never too early to start. I've shared with you before that in Islam, when a baby is being born, not only is the statement, "There is no God but Allah and Muhammad is His prophet," said as that child is being birthed into the world, but there are readings from the Quran. So that the first words that child hears, even though they don't understand, are words of importance for their religious heritage. It's never too early to start teaching the next generation the truths and the commandments of God, so that they might also choose life. Excuse me, let me restate that. So that they also might choose life. That correction was for the English people in the room. However, whether purposefully with open eyes or through avoidance, many choose death. You might say, choose death? Why in the world would anyone want to choose death? Who would want that to happen? Well, the death that's spoken of here is not just, as I said before, death as in the ending of life, but rather the beginning of spiritual death, the beginning of the death of faith. If your heart turns away and you do not hear but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, you shall perish. And here Moses, on behalf of God, is not just talking about their destruction by physical enemies, but the perishing of their spirits, the perishing of their souls. Refusal to hear and live the commandments is a choice, but it's a choice which allows our spirits, our emotions, our spiritual relationship to begin being starved to death. And if we pass this attitude to our children, they will likely choose to starve to death as well. Wait a minute, someone might say. I didn't think the law and the commandments were for us since Jesus came and redeemed us and gave us salvation. We know Paul's responsible for a lot of that, some of what Paul says about the law and not keeping the law. Yet, Deuteronomy, Jesus, James, sometimes even Paul, focus on this sense of ecclesiology, that is, who are the people of God? And ethics, how should the people of God behave? We are looking at the Beatitudes, and Jesus tells us there who the people of God are, in large part by how they behave. And while we cannot earn God's favor, the law expresses the principles for living as God's people. Salvation comes by grace through faith. Yes, that's undeniable. But through faith which manifests itself, which shows itself in the conduct of the believer. In the epistle entitled 1 John, chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Now by this we may be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. Whoever says, I have come to know Him, but does not obey His commandments, is a liar. And in such a person the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys His word, truly in this person the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in Him. Whoever says, I abide in Him, ought to walk just as He walked. So it's not just Deuteronomy. It's even in the New Testament. God's redemptive grace is effective when it produces holiness. As Biddle writes, if the church is to be the vital nation of priests it is called to be, it must not turn away from the Bible's call to covenant living. And I would add that if we choose life, if we as individuals and as church people, as Christians, choose life, we must and we will wish to teach those commands of covenant living to our children so that they too might choose life as a child of God. Choose life and prosperity and be a child of God. May we pray. Our gracious God, we thank You for giving us an opportunity to know You and to love You and to know and to love each other. Help us in that knowledge to take the freedom that You give us to choose and to choose life with You. And then help us to prepare ourselves so that we might teach our children well to choose life in You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is number 688. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. As we sing, our altar is open for any decision that you might make, for a recommitment to God, for a commitment to choose life and to teach it to those children, not just next week, although that is important, but each and every day. Number 688, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.